is the 311 Radio Show, where we learn all about the work of the Barbados Fire Service, focusing towards a safer Barbados.
Good afternoon to you. This is the 311 Radio Show, and we've got a show with a difference for you this Sunday, because we have, one, a different host. We've given the ladies the day off for some strange reason. And today we're going to have a chat with the Fire Cadet Program. Now, I was told that it was usually the juniors, and now there's been a change in name. So what we'll do to start the 311 Radio Show today, we'll have everyone introduce themselves. No, it's not going to be an all-male program because there are ladies involved, even though we've given Krista J the day off. And, of course, Natasha also has the day off. But we have with us
Fire Officer Jason Collins,
who has been a regular on this program before. And with him,
Cadet Kimar Allen.
And
Cadet Kira Patterson.
So, good afternoon to you all.
It's good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. Show.
Let's start with the cadet program. There's been a change in the format for it.
Yes, there has been a slight change. In the past, it would have been referred to as the Junior Fire Cadet Program. From this year, on the opening, which was the 15th of July, we renamed it basically to the Fire Cadet Program. It's no longer the Junior Fire Cadet Program, just Fire Cadet Program, simply because in the past, you would have done the program for the 6 weeks of the summer, and then you would have basically moved on, and that would be it. What we have done this time is that we have... And you're going to speak to the two senior ones a little later, that we have moved from just the junior stage to the junior. These two who are here.
The new ones, basically.
Right. Mm-hmm. They will do their year, and then there'll be a continuous program until they're 18 years old. That's something that we have started from this year.
So let's talk to the first of the newcomers. And I'll start with ladies first, because it's usually ladies talking all over the program. So, Kira, what made you want to be a part of this program?
Well, the first time I heard about the program, my mommy told me she saw an ad on Facebook, and she
Your
asked me.
Your mommy goes to Facebook. That's a progressive mom.
And she asked me if I would like to be a part of it, and I told her yes, because, well, first of all, it has job opportunities. Mm-hmm. And you can be recognized for such things. Like, when you finish the program, you can be recognized as a fire cadet. And people will hold you to a high level because of that.
Okay, I'll come back to ask you what you learned as part of the program. But let's talk to Kibar for a moment. Your attraction to the program, what drew you to the program? Mom and Facebook too?
No, sir.
Oh, okay.
The first time I heard about this program, sir, it was... at the career showcase, and I saw the fire officer, and he saw my interest of being a firefighter. So he introduced me to the program, and he asked me why I wanted to be a part of the program. And I told him, I don't really matter about what job I get in the future. I just want to help people. And firefighter is a really great example of a job that helps people.
I thought you liked the uniform and the red and having a siren and, you know, making noise. What has the program done for you? What have you learned from the program?
Sir, I became more disciplined, and instead of just doing things on my own like usual, I realized how that being a part of a team is a great asset, and it makes life easier.
And this, of course, is something you could take when you go back to school and as you go through your life in general, right?
Yes,
this
sir.
This is life training skills.
Yes, sir.
And for you, Kira?
Yes, sir.
What did you learn from the program?
Well, just like Kimar said, I learned to work in a team because I'm one person who likes to do things on my own. And
was a great change for you?
Yes, sir. And
you like the members of the team, they're not listening to you, you can tell me. It was difficult getting accustomed to the team?
Yes, sir, because they are unsettled, and rather unsettled group. And when it comes to the officers telling them to be quiet, for example, right, they don't like to be quiet. They don't ever stop fidgeting. There's always one person in court likes to laugh at something. If it's something just flew across the square. The person will laugh for some reason unknown, and it is a distraction for the rest of the crew members because one officer says there's no A in team. So whatever, if one person gets into trouble, everybody gets into trouble. And then it is also holding back the learning from what we're supposed to learn at the camp. It is just like losing time.
You know you're going to be a team leader, right? You know that, right?
Yes, sir.
You sure you know that?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good. I just checking because I'm listening to you, right? And what I'm hearing is someone who is very conscious of responsibility, and you seem to be the smallest person in the room, and someone who's focused on what they're doing, because, you know, you're saying someone is fidgeting, someone is laughing. I could just see you, you know, the general body say, listen, pull the room out. Were you like that?
Pardon me?
Were you like that in the camp? Did you assert, you know?
Well, when I was younger, when I was younger, I was rather unsettled myself. Oh. But since I started the whole for a cadet program, I pulled up myself because I saw that it all it is just that you're losing time.
And time
that you can't regain because you're just making sport all the time and just can't learn anything new.
Jason, was she like this? Were you part of looking at her making these comments to herself or out loud while it was going on?
Well, for the past, these would have been doing 3 weeks now. Freddie Gone would have completed 3 weeks for them. And well, obviously she's one of the quieter ones for what else. I don't know if she does stuff behind me, but I'm not sure.
She's one of the quieter ones.
When I, you know, when you look through them, there are some of them who could be, as she said, a little unsettled. You know, some being children, 15 years old and so on. There's a lot of energy, a lot of adrenaline. Some people can't keep quiet, fidgety, etc. Talk a lot, that kind of stuff. But I don't really get. From her, generally, she's not one of the ones who would give trouble, so to speak. So she's generally in her own little world. Most of the time. Yeah, not, as I said, not a trouble person, child at all, so far.
When the program is in session, you talk about teamwork. What kind of work did the team do when you were, you know, doing work, as opposed to when you were fidgeting and laughing?
Well, sir, there is something called the hose and hydrant gel, where there is 4 people in a crew, and you have to like set out the hoses and connect the hose to the pump, to get the water to, you know, if there's a fire, to out the fire, and it has to be done in such a time that no one will be hurt, and the hose will still be standing, and. So it comes, well, the teamwork is what comes in there, and...
Who is the most important person in that team to you? The person who's holding the end of the hose or the person who's connecting it?
The person who turns on the water, sir.
Okay. Yes, Jason.
No, I just explain it, obviously, because if you hear hose and hydrant as an average civilian, you probably might not have a clue what you're talking about, right? It's just one of the drills that we do. It teach them basically how to get water
to the
end of the hose, or what we call the branch in the fire service. And, you know, teach them the basic skills that a firefighter will use or will need in order to do his job, his day-to-day duties in terms of extinguishing fire and so on. We're not going to expose them to, you know, burning or something like that, but it's one of those skills. It teach them teamwork as well, as she said, because it has to be done with precision as a team, and everybody has a role to play.
Right.
And collectively, if you see it, it's a very nice spectacle once you get it together.
Well, I was about to ask you, what is the benchmark for getting a hose attached to a hydrant and getting the water to the fire?
Well, we want to do the drill as efficiently and as quickly as possible. However, I always say to people, you cannot substitute accuracy for speed. And that is not only in effect as a fire cadet, as a fire officer. Sometimes we go to scenes, especially rescue scenes, because rescue scenes tend to take a little more time. You go to a rescue scene and you may hear people, you know, the person's on the sideline. Oh,
why you don't do this? Why you don't do that?
Because everybody's an expert.
Correct.
But the importance of accuracy in a job such as the firefighting is shown, because the slightest mistake, if you're doing a rescue and you don't tie a knot properly, for example,
correct,
you don't connect something properly, you can cause disruption for yourself, your colleagues, the victim.
Mm-hmm.
And we always say, as an injured farmer, you cannot help anyone. Anybody. So your safety is paramount to be able to make sure you keep others safe.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these things.
And this is what they learn as well as part of the program.
Because we also teach them the seriousness.
Mm-hmm.
You always hear about the little fidgeting and things. We encourage them. Yes, you're going to have your time. You're going to make your sport up. But when you're on that square, you're doing drills.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be serious. You need to understand the importance. Because something as simple as holding that hose properly, if that is not done correctly, and I have said it to all of them already, that the hose can get away from you with pressure, when it's pressurized, and hit you in the head. It's that serious. You know,
so I'm gonna scare you youngsters for a bit, because I remember actually seeing a fire on, I think it was Christmas Day. I was having lunch, and the building next door to where I was living at the time caught fire, and the firemen came in, and the firemen came in, and there was a guy up on the roof of the building, and when they turned the hose on, the pressure of the water actually threw him off the roof. I mean, I think he got injured more than, you know, I think he hurt himself really badly. He got broken shoulder and some bones and stuff, because the pressure of the hose was that strong. And he was standing on a sloping galvanized. So the pressure of the hose just tossed him completely off.
Correct.
So yeah, it can happen. It can happen.
That's why they would all tell you that we have taught them. We are very specific about the technique in holding the hose properly. Each of them could tell you that. That's something we take very seriously. Hold the hose properly. Have a proper stance. Because if you're not properly balanced with a firm base, the hose can do, as you say, and throw you off.
Yeah.
It can be very dangerous.
So I got to ask you this, Kimar.
Ali.
Yeah. You frightened? Or you finished with this now that you know what can happen to you?
Not really, sir.
You still want to be someone who helps people?
Yes, sir.
That includes, if you've been following the newspaper recently, there have been a lady down a well.
Mm-hmm.
We've had two disastrous house fires. One claimed three lives. The other one, the victim, I think is still fighting. You sure you're strong and firm and ready to face these tragedies?
Well, I'm not really sure about the ready part, but I still...
Honest answer?
But it's still
a thrill.
Still desire to help people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people say that in life, find your purpose. And I really think my purpose is just to be in the world and help people. And as I said before, this is a great example of how you help people.
Well, I like the fact that both of you have agreed that you've learned teamwork, one, which is important. You've learned that sometimes in life you have to depend on somebody else. That's important. And both said discipline. I think that when we talk about the challenges we have with our young people, discipline is key to it. So I want to thank you for accepting the challenge of taking part in the program. And from what you've said, you're interested in continuing. I take that to be right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Good. So I can go into old age feeling a little bit more comfortable. And there's some young people coming from who will look out for me when, you know, I accidentally throw the thing down and, you know, may get a little burned. I want to ask you this, Jason, before we switch to the two senior ones. I mentioned the two fires recently and the fact that people got hurt in it.
Mm-hmm.
Is part of the program also teaching them how to deal with someone who's had a burn? Because I noticed, you know, some of the people who've reported close to the fire said, I didn't know what to do.
Correct.
Because the person was burnt.
That's a very good question. And indeed, there is actually only on Thursday, they would have done some first aid. One of the instructors who is an EMT would have taught them some first aid, so they should have some basic first aid skills.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that happens on every program annually.
Good.
So they learn basic first aid, how to deal with, you know, bandaging and certain basic things.
Mm-hmm.
Initial care until further help arrives. Yes.
You're listening to the 311 Radio Show, and we've given the ladies off, so there is no Natasha today, and there's no Krista J. Paul. But we're talking to the fire cadets on the fire cadet program, no longer senior program, junior program. It's just known as the fire cadet program, and of course, Jason is with us. So we've heard from Miss Patterson and Mr. Arlene. We'll next hear from Miracle Boys and Shem White.
You're listening to the 311 Radio Show.
We now have a chat with, let's call them the senior ones in the group, because they've been through the first part of the program. They've returned. We have Miracle Boys, Shem White. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
I love this sir thing. I feel senior here. I'll start with you, of course, Miracle. Your interest in the program through year one, back into the second year, why?
Well, I would say that when I heard about the program, actually, it was over the radio, and my mom had told me, well, you know, there's an opportunity for you to learn a couple of skills and also discipline yourself. Because I did the program, the junior fire cadet program, in the year 2016, which is like 3 years ago.
Right.
And honestly, remembering about it, I really enjoyed, the main part I really enjoyed was learning footwork drill, doing some hands-on ladder drill, the hose hydrant drill, like my junior cadet said, and also some visual signals that we did as well. And also learning about the history of the fire service and making new friends.
But none of you said, I want to drive a fire engine, man.
You could say that that's the cool part, because it's all fun and exciting, but it's also very serious.
Right.
So yeah, I also I would love to drive the fire truck, but until I get a valid license, then we will see what will happen.
Well, you know, the reason why I said this, because usually, as a youngster, you would get Christmas gifts, and one of the Christmas gifts you would get would be a fire truck or, you know, a police car. And what you're interested in is the siren and making a mess in the house. So, you know, when you see a fire truck going by, you know, you go, I want to drive one of those.
The fun stuff.
Yeah. It's not the fun stuff. Actually, it's the dangerous stuff. Because
exactly.
People apparently don't pay attention to sirens anymore.
It is very true. You know, it's funny you say that, because, you know, a lot of people ask me, why you don't drive the fire truck? I would like, it's really not that serious. The responsibility that comes with driving a fire appliance is, any of the drivers would tell you, is tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's not all the fun and games that you think of as a little child, your toy truck and whatever.
Yeah.
It is a lot more serious. So
you don't have water in the toy truck in the first place. So.
Exactly.
So you don't worry about that. And Shem, why did you return for the second year?
Well, I returned basically to continue learning the skills that is needed in life, necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
In life, as a everything that you need to do, I believe that the Barbados Fire Service will teach you, and the cadet program will teach you. Because number one, I believe the first thing in life that you need is discipline to do anything. To do anything. And without discipline, it's like just throwing yourself down a well and just not being the way you're supposed to, and to be prepared. Because the Barbados Fire Service Cadet Program actually teaches you to be prepared in anything. To be honest, the first time I came, which was last year, my mother, I didn't bring home a good report. And my mother was like, Shem, we got to do better than this. And then she was told about the cadet program. And I went to the cadet program and said, Lord, I'm frightened because this is cadet.
Right.
And when I look at cadet at school, I was like, push-ups,
right.
Running around,
drilling.
Oh, Lord, all sort of things. God, roll
up. Big, heavy shoes.
Everything. But then when I came into the program, I was like, this is actually preparing youth. Youth that coming in, because we see that youth just being all over the place, as in being mischievous and
not doing work at school, getting a bad company, not doing work at school,
doing at school, everything except for positive things.
Right.
And I believe that every youth that come into the program will come out better than how they came in, and that's the objective of the Barbados Fire Service Cadet Program.
No, I keep hearing team, I keep hearing working together, and I keep hearing discipline. So I'm going to ask some questions. And I hope your mom and, you know, grandmom and friends and all this. Were you a disciplined?
Pardon me, sir?
Were you a disciplined person before the program?
Yes, sir.
You were?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you, Chuck?
I don't know, you know.
Oh, good. All right, good. That's a good answer. That's a good answer. I will take that as being a good answer. Are you a disciplined person? No.
Yes, I am.
Good,
I will say.
Right.
I will say.
And you're more disciplined. Why are you nodding your head? You made him a disciplined person, right? No? You work together as a team?
Yes, sir.
Who was the most responsible person at the team at the beginning, and who grew as the team got better? You could name people without getting into trouble. How many people on your team? 4, 5,
well,
6?
Depending on the
skill, on the drill?
On the drill, depending on the drill and the, because you can be put into any number anytime.
Anytime, okay.
Suddenly.
Okay.
Suddenly.
You had a team that worked together as a team from the start, or you had people who were fidgeting and laughing and.
It is in juniors, in seniors, is the same thing.
Thing?
Yes,
same
sir.
Thing. Is the same thing.
Sadly.
Sadly, I would say. Same thing. But I believe that we improving, mm-hmm. we improving to come up to be disciplined and.
Okay. So people who are listening and saying, you know what? These guys don't sound like they were having fun. These guys sound like they went to a camp where they were. What was the fun part of this thing for you?
There is, I usually say that there's a time and place for everything.
Right.
There's a time and place for everything. Mm-hmm. There's a time where that we can have fun. Mm-hmm. The instructors will have very good conversation with us. We will laugh.
Right.
And everything. But as
when the drill
instructor Colin said, when we're on the square and there's drills going on, it can be very dangerous and people's lives are being at risk. Mm-hmm. Right. So we have to be serious on the
while you're on the square
on the square job. Right. Mm-hmm. Because all right, I mean, to from last year, the fun things we did, we had sleepover, we had right. We had a lot of things like picnic and everything. It was fun.
Okay.
It's fun. Right.
Yes, Miracle, I see you raising your hand. What was the fun part of this for you?
Well, from the year I did it in 2016, I remember we were doing some swimming safety measures.
Right.
And we also, like, the fun part for me mm-hmm. is the hose and hydrant drill, doing the hose and hydrant drill.
Well, you like running up and down with hoses in your hand?
I love that.
Yeah, honestly, yes. I like the, yeah. like, especially yeah. because number 4 plays a very important part.
Mm-hmm.
Number 4 carries back the orders to number 2, and number 2 is the one who use the key and lock to right. force the water to come through the hose.
Right.
All
right. Wait. Just, I won't get to this. I gotta come back to you a minute on this because here's the thing. Here's the part of this that I find interesting, right? You're talking about passing messages from one to the other.
Yes.
Most of the young people I know don't talk to one another. They sit down and send messages via text.
As the team said, there's no any team. So we work together to get this duty done.
Yes, Jason, you will see.
I laugh because Boyce was explaining number 4, number 2. People are like,
yeah.
Who's this?
But, no, but that's why I told her to let it go with it.
Hose and hydrant. The hose and hydrant drill is actually most of the drills done within the fire service, which is like the ladder drill and hose and hydrant, mm-hmm. are usually 4-man drills.
Right.
Each person has a number. Number 1, number 2, number 3, and number 4.
Right.
And they each have specific roles.
Gotcha.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So that's basically it. Mm-hmm. You have to be more in it to understand the rest of it. But yeah, just so that the public.
I was following them with a smile on my face.
And yes, the passing messages, that's, as you said, everybody uses their cell phone, their tablet now. Actually, some of them, you even have to tell them speak up, because even to say their name, they're like,
they're not accustomed to talking.
Confidence.
You know? Yeah,
so
the
self-confidence is a bit low for some of them. And. Mm-hmm. I understand the shyness because I know when I was that age, I was extremely shy. So it
some of us never get over it.
Right, some never get over it. But I must say, I wasn't in the, well, I didn't have the fire cadet when I was their age. But, joining the Barbados Fire Service in terms of the different roles I've had to play within the department has helped me personally in terms of developing my, you know, speaking to people and that kind of stuff. And some of them have definitely improved in that.
Well, area. I think that's important because in a lot of cases, the media, they need to understand what you're doing and when and how to approach you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I have seen times during active fires where people have said, who's the fire chief here? Who's in charge of this? Can he say something? And, you know, he's in the middle of trying to put a fire out.
Correct.
Trying to check to see if there's somebody still in the building.
Yeah.
Trying to see, you know, if it's spreading. He can't talk to you.
Yeah. Actually, you know, it's funny you said that because even in, I see it in sports. You got a youngster now run 100 meters.
Yeah.
They can and barely breathe.
Yeah.
And you got a mic in front of you. So it can be a little uncomfortable. I see it all the time. I'm like, just give them a few seconds to catch your breath. You know what I mean?
And that's why I smile at the, you know, passing the message along, because we need to get the message as well.
Yeah.
Now, when you guys are out there working, right, let you work. Now, I asked the question about the fires recently and, you know, people getting hurt and getting to them in time. As a fact that, does that concern you, the number of fires we're having, the lives we're losing? Does it make you say, I got to look a little closer at what I'm doing?
I was thinking about it while I was coming to this radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I have never heard about so much fires in at least 1 month or in just a season.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard about it. And I don't know why, but I don't know how it's being caused.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if youth being lawless
mm-hmm.
and causing the same fires. I don't know what happened, but it concerned me because a fire is a natural thing. It's natural, it's nature,
mm-hmm.
and it can happen anywhere,
mm-hmm.
right? And as a fire cadet, I will always want to be prepared for any fire, because in my house, there's my sister,
mm-hmm.
my 6-year-old sister, there's my mother,
mm-hmm.
who supports me, but not for so long.
I hope she's hearing.
And then there's my stepfather and me.
Right.
Right. And then there are other people that I would like to help. Right. I don't want to be a fireman, though.
Okay.
I don't want to be a fireman.
Okay.
But I believe that the Fire Cadet program can help me in some way save a life at some time. At some time. It can help me even in Bridgetown if someone drops down. I could run to the person, do first aid.
Mm-hmm.
If someone, I don't think I can know any
well. Well, no, let me say to you, right?
You shouldn't have
to. That one of the good things about learning is that
right.
no one can take it away from you.
That's true.
So if you have a major fire, for example, where you have multiple buildings burning, and you know the drill, you know your skills, and you see that, you know, somebody needs a hand here, somebody needs to be helped, I am sure that the instinct would be, let me put what I learned into practice.
Right.
You know, and you reach out.
One of the things that we're actually looking at, especially with the senior ones, doing some stuff within the community,
helping out.
Because knowing certain basics, they can install smoke alarms for some elderly, that kind of stuff you're looking at heading into that direction in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them would have attended the health fair that we had only about a week or two ago at the Bushall Community Center.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the cadets would have had the privilege of interacting with the public,
mm-hmm.
explaining some of the stuff that we had on display. From the reports and feedback that I got, I was told they did a very good job. And so that's a start. That's what we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Helping to build community resilience, and not only through the fire cadets, but the fire fair that we had at Bushall was also one of the avenues that we were looking to help build community resilience, because we taught people how to use an extinguisher live
mm-hmm.
with live fire on that day as well.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually very interesting. So it is not only about the cadets, but the cadets obviously would be like the foot soldiers into those communities, because obviously if a cadet goes home and see mommy practicing bad habits. She, okay, well, mommy, well, you know, the fire officer said, because you know,
on the stove,
precisely. So those little things,
mm-hmm.
and with them doing that, and with this media being the radio show, that kind of stuff, we get more and more people up to speed as to the do's and don'ts of fire safety.
Which has a lot of people listening to it, actually, from the feedback that I get.
Definitely.
So I will ask you, Miracle.
Yes, sir.
Future, you would like to continue doing this? You're learning more. You're passing on what you learn, and you want to drive your truck eventually?
Of course.
There are different sizes of trucks here, so you don't have to go to the big one first.
Big,
you can drive one of the smaller crash tenders. What, she wants the big one?
No, I mean, like me, I drive
the smaller one.
I'm very content with that. I'm good. I'm very good with that.
But for you want to stay with the program? You're enjoying the program still?
Yes, my heart's desire is to actually fulfill a firefighting career,
mm-hmm.
to be a fire officer. So hopefully I would do excel very well in this program,
mm-hmm.
and be recommended from a couple of the instructors when I apply after the program.
Mm-hmm. I expect to see you at the airport handling the crash tenders. I hear they have very nice tenders up there. I actually went up once to look at it, and apparently they sit and do nothing all day long. don't know why I'm spreading these rumors. That's not okay. True. They have a very difficult job. But anyhow, I want to thank you for taking this time and joining us on this Sunday afternoon to talk to the folks who listen faithfully to the 311 radio show. I want to apologize to those who always look forward to hearing Natasha and Krista J enjoying themselves. Today, you heard from Kira, Kimara, Miracle, and Shem, part of the Fire Cadet program, and of course, Fire Prevention Officer. I think that's still your title.
Right? Yeah, it's still
your title. Prevention, of course, is better, they say, than having to actually fight the fires. But thank you very much for being part of the 311 radio show.
Thank you also, thank you, Mr. Johnson.
And thank you.
Thank you, the public of Barbados, right, for listening.
So when you hear Light My Fire, tell them no, I put it out. Have a good afternoon all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was the 311 radio show, as we heard from the Barbados Fire Service. Join us again next week right here on VOB 92.9 FM at 1:30 p.m. for the next edition of the 311 radio show.